We'll begin reading at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Please be seated. I remember once when I was in college, I went to an evening worship service at a church in Greenville. And at the end of the worship service, the senior pastor was asked to pray. So he closed the service and he was asking God's blessing upon the sermon. And then he prayed something like this. And we pray also for our young people now, as they now will go to meet in the fellowship hall at 8:15 this evening, right across from the annex. And he continued to go on to the details of the meeting. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? We pray for the nursery. We pray for the shower this Friday night here at the building for the ladies only. That when they bring everyone will bring refreshments, and that the men will not be there, and they'll be blessed when they're over at Pastor Paul's house this Friday evening at 7:00 in Jesus' name. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? You happen to wonder, when you hear a prayer like that, are they praying to God or are they praying to us? Is this a prayer or is this an announcement? Well, look at the text in front of us today. This is a parable that involves or addresses our attitudes in prayer. To whom are we praying? We're going to take up, as is in your notes, this parable under four headings. God Almighty has seen fit in the text to give us our four headings very easily. In verses 9 and 10, we see the context. In verses 11 and 12, we see the Pharisee. In verse 13, we see the publican. And in verse 14, God gives us our application. So those will be our four headings today with a conclusion to follow. Before we now begin to expound the text, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you that we can come in a land that is free to worship you freely, that we did not need to sneak to church today. We thank you that as we drove to church, we passed by literally hundreds of other Christians driving to worship you on your day. Thank you, God. We thank you, God, that each of us has available to us a copy of the scriptures in our own hands, so that as we come to our worship, we can crack open our Bibles and receive the word with all readiness of mind and consult with the scriptures whether these things are so. We thank you for this, Lord. And as now we come to this worship, we ask that all that we do, this entire time that we share together, would be focused on you, on Jesus Christ, and that in so doing, we would remain faithful to the text of Scripture. Keep us from falling short of Scripture. Keep us from giving more than the Scripture gives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heading 1, the context. And I hope you have your Bibles open in front of you to Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake, that is Christ, this parable unto certain, which, what did they do? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Now, I'd like you to consider, first of all, righteousness. I'd like you to consider others. In the following text I'm to read to you, consider righteousness and consider others in these texts. Romans 4. Let's turn to Romans 4 together. You should have these texts in your notes in the bulletin. Romans 4, verses 6 through 8. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now look at that text, Romans 4, 6 through 8. Do you see the word righteousness in the text? Look at the word righteousness. It's there in verse 6. David says that the man is blessed unto whom God imputes righteousness. Where is that righteousness coming from? It's coming from God. God is imputing upon that man righteousness. The man is blessed in God because God blesses him by giving him righteousness. He said in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, he won't hold his sin against him because God has imputed righteousness. So that righteousness is not coming from the man. It's coming from God. Now turn to Romans 5. It's just the next chapter over. Not a long turn. Romans 5. Romans 5. Look at verses 17 to 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now look at this text, Romans 5, 17 through 19. You have the text open in front of you. You see the word righteousness in verse 17. But notice first of all that the text says, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. What does that say about mankind? It says that death reigns by the offense of Adam. In Adam's fall, many of you children, you may remember this when you study your alphabet. A. A is for Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Some of you may have learned it that way. A is for Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Look at, that's faithful to this text. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Notice righteousness there. What is righteousness there? That's a prepositional phrase of righteousness. It's a gift. It says right there, righteousness is a gift by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men. So how many men are condemned according to the text of Scripture? All men, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we have two kinds of people. We have unrighteous and we have righteous. That's what the texts are teaching us. And I told you under the context that we were going to see there are righteous people and there are others. See, I said the unrighteous and the righteous. There are righteous people and there are others. Right? What was the righteousness that we've studied here? Where did it come from? God. And it was a gift. And how many are unrighteous? Everyone. And the only way that they can get this righteousness is to have that righteousness imputed to them and received by faith alone. Now, let's look back to Luke 18. Turn back to Luke 18. I've asked you under the first heading to consider righteousness and to consider others in the text. Now look back to Luke 18. Look back to Luke 18. Your Bibles are open in front of you. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men. Well, first of all, let me read again, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Well, the problem here is they were of the others, right? They were not looking to God for their righteousness. They were not seeing righteousness as a gift. They were looking to themselves for righteousness, which puts them with others. They're unrighteous. Now, verse 10, right following that, verse 10, we come now to our second heading. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So Christ is teaching very simply here. I'm trying to be as simple as Christ is in the text. Just let's open our Bibles. It makes it easier for you too. Maybe you didn't get a lot of sleep last night. You got your Bible open. We're just going to be looking at the scriptures together. Right? So Christ says, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. So we've got the context. He's teaching us about those who trust in themselves regarding their righteousness and look down on others, despising others. We've covered that, where our righteousness should come from. And now we're going to cover the Pharisee, and then we're going to cover the publican, just like Jesus does in the text. First of all, then, the Pharisee. Now let me ask you, children. Are you familiar with the word Pharisee? Have you heard that word Pharisee? Do you think of good things when you think of Pharisees? Unless he's over here now. Now, we all know what we think of when we think of a Pharisee is not good. You don't want, if somebody says, you are such a Pharisee, you don't feel like they've paid you a compliment. I have been called a Pharisee, if not by others, by myself. For we're all very Pharisaical. Whenever we think we can trust in ourselves for our righteousness, and we can despise others, we're Pharisaical. Look at the text. The Pharisee, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice that. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how it's in your translation. I know that this morning I'm in the King James. Tonight I'll be in the English Standard Version. The man prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee. It's good to thank God in prayer. It's good. We should thank God in prayer. We see that. It's one of the things we should have in prayer. Look what he thanks him for. That I am not as other men are. Now, didn't we just see that all men are lost in trespasses and sins? But he's proclaiming to God, thank you that I'm not like them. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Or even as this publican that you're going to cover in the next heading, Lord. I thank you that I'm not like them. I'm not like other men. Notice that once again, he prayed thus with himself. Now let me ask you, think for a second. Was the Pharisee as other men are? Was the Pharisee, as he says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Was he as other men are? It's a safe answer. You could say yes, and you could say no. You could say yes, of course. He is like every other man, lost in Adam, as we just covered in our first heading. He is damned. He's just like everybody else. In fact, in his heart, he's an extortioner, he's unjust, he's an adulterer in his heart. But there's a way in which he's not as other men are. Because he thinks he's righteous in himself. Notice that he says in verse 12, look at verse 12, something about the Pharisee. This is how I'm different than other men. God, let me tell you why I'm thanking you. I'm going to tell you now, God, listen to me. I'm praying thus with myself. Let me tell you, God, how I am not like this publican. In verse 12, he says, look, God, I fast twice in the week. Publican doesn't do that, God, so I'm not as other men are. I give tithes of all that I possess, God. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, you know now, see, I am not as, you know what the publican is, Lord? He's a tax collector. He doesn't give tithes of all that. He's a thief, but not me. So, Lord, I'm not as other men. Do you get this, God? I'm praying thus with myself. I'm not as he is. I fast. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you know that many people have good routines of fasting and giving. They're very careful to tell us about Thursday's my day of fasting. I'm sorry, I can't come over. I always fast on Thursdays. Even though when the Word of God says that when you fast, you're supposed to be in private. And we also know about those people that say, oh yes, we are members of the Masonic Lodge and we give liberally to good causes. Did you know that we do that? Yes, they're not as other men are. Turn to Matthew 6. Turn to Matthew 6. And look at verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. You could put in there the Pharisees, or the Pharisee in this parable. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. They've pleased you. They were able to broadcast to you. They fasted. Did you get that? I fasted. They have their reward. Men think they're something. But thou, when thou fastest, verse 17, Matthew 6, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, brethren, look at the text of Scripture. When you fast, nobody should know but you and God. Keep it between you and God. In fact, you should look just like any normal person on any other day. You should look like the others when you fast. We studied recently, well, within the last few years, we studied what it is to have acceptable prayer. And we're seeing here the type of prayer that this Pharisee had. And one of the characteristics of acceptable prayer, it's an offering up of the desires of the righteous unto God. It's an offering up of the desires of the righteous unto God. So this Pharisee is saying, I qualify. I am offering up my desires. Well, I'm praying as a righteous man unto God. Well, let me ask you to turn to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the proud. Is that what it says? Does Psalm 10, verse 17 say, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the proud? Is that what it says? It says, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, the humble, the contrite one. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God hears. Listen, children. God hears when you pray. God hears you when you have a humble heart. When you come before God and you don't think you're righteous. You don't think you're something. It says here, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. He hears the heart of the humble. Now you're in Psalms. Turn over to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Acceptable prayer is an offering of the desires of the righteous unto God. Verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Look at those next four words. I don't know if your translation has them, but in my translation it says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. That's prayer. That's prayer. Pouring out our heart before God. Now, we've just covered in Psalm 10 and Psalm 62 a couple things about prayer. The first thing we covered is that it was a prayer of a righteous person who was humble. They had the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. The second thing we covered is that it was a pouring out of their heart. Right? Right? Humble and pouring out of the heart. Okay? Now turn back to Luke. You should have your finger in Luke chapter 18. And let's look at this Pharisee's prayer again. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Let me ask you, is this Pharisee humble? And secondly, is he offering up his desires to God from pouring out his heart? No. He's broadcasting. I thank you that I'm not like this other man. And it says right in the text that he prayed thus with himself. Well, let me make a mention about acceptable prayer to God. Prayer is to whom do we pray? To God, right? We don't pray to each other, do we? No. We don't pray to saints, and we don't pray to each other. We pray to God. The Pharisee's not praying to God. He's caught up with himself, right? I fast twice a week. I give of all that I receive. I'm a good man. I'm not like him. I'm not like the others, right? I'm a pretty good guy. I thank you, God, that I'm not like them. He's praying with himself. He's caught up with others. He's caught up with his circumstances. Notice again, I'm very good about fasting and tithing. Am I not, God? But he's not caught up with God. Prayer is a pouring out of the heart, Psalm 62:8. So, I think I'm quoting Matthew Henry here. Caught up in his religiosity, the Pharisee asked God for nothing and therefore received nothing. Now let's continue in Luke and see our third heading, the publican. Verse 13, Luke 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, brethren, do you know what a publican was? I already alluded to what a publican was in the sermon. Were you listening? A publican was a tax collector. It's kind of like an IRS agent. When I say the word IRS agent, do you think that's a good thing? Unless he doesn't know what an IRS agent is, Gabe, you better teach your daughter. You'll find out. Yeah, there's two things for certain, death and taxes. We don't think well of IRS agents, do we? Even they're very nice people. I remember one IRS agent I know of that I used to work with tax law, and I had to visit with tax attorneys and CPAs all day long. And I would go into their offices, and these men or ladies would bill by the hour. So I knew for them to have given me the appointment was very precious to them. So I'd go into their office and I'd say, okay, now I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to come to some conclusions and perhaps make some recommendations. I'm going to move very quickly. If I go too quickly, please just slow me down. I know you bill by the hour. It's out of respect for your time that I'm moving quickly. In fact, they always used to say that's one thing they liked about me. I was in and out as quickly as possible. When I went to see the IRS, because they are tax attorneys and CPAs, I did the same thing. I said, now listen, I'm going to go very quickly. I know you have a very precious job, and so I'm going to go very quickly. If I go too quickly, slow me down. This IRS agent sitting behind the desk, he said, the clock's ticking. The clock's ticking. But he didn't mean I was timing you. He meant, I'm still getting paid, whether you're here or not. I'm getting paid by the money. You know, I get my money. So a publican was a tax collector. Now let me explain how a publican was. I'm going to read quickly from Wikipedia about a publican. Don't expect you to follow this, but maybe a few of you will, and then I'll explain what I just said. Publicans were despised Jews who collaborated with the Roman Empire because they were best known for collecting tolls or taxes. They are commonly described as tax collectors. Tax farming was originally a Roman practice whereby the burden of tax collection was reassigned by the Roman state to private individuals or groups. In essence, these individuals or groups paid the taxes for a certain area and for a certain period of time and then attempted to cover their outlay by collecting money or saleable goods from the people within that area. The system was set up by Gaius Gracchus in 123 BC primarily to increase the efficiency of tax collection within Rome itself, but the system quickly spread to the provinces. Within the Roman Empire, these private individuals or groups which collected taxes in lieu of the bid or rent they had paid to the state were known as publicani, P-U-B-L-I-C-A-N-I, publicani, of whom the best known is the disciple Matthew, a publicanus in the village of Capernaum in the province of Galilee, one of Christ's disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. The system was widely abused, and reforms were enacted by Augustus and Diocletian. Tax farming practices were believed to have contributed to the fall of the Roman Empire. Now let me explain. How many of us, don't raise your hands, but how many of us wish that they would just abolish the IRS? Probably all of us. Haven't we thought of how it could be done? Well, let's say that the United States government decided to abolish the IRS and they decided to outsource the whole thing. And they came to Easley, South Carolina, and they said, listen, we're going to have a tax burden based on the tax law of the United States of America upon Easley. And we are opening up to the citizenry of Easley to bid the federal tax income for Easley. So anybody who wants to bid to the federal government what they think they could collect in taxes, they can bid it. And we'll pay you 10% on whatever you bid. So thoughtful businessmen get together in groups and they say, listen, I think we can probably draw, let's say, $100 million. Let's bid $100 million. So somebody bids 90, somebody bids 80, they bid $100 million. I mean, a group of us got together. We said, we're going to bid $100 million. We think that we can get from Easley, South Carolina, $100 million in federal taxes this year. And the government says, you win the bid. Give us $100 million. So the group gets together and they take together their assets and they pay $100 million to the United States of America. The government's got their tax revenue. Now these individuals, they're in debt. They're publicans for $100 million. The government says, I'm going to pay you 10%, so you're going to get $10 million out of the deal. So we just got 10% interest. Nice deal. Then they go to collect. And they say to us, you owe us taxes. How much you got? And if they can get more than $100 million, they could keep what they wanted to. So they were very dishonest. If you owed righteously maybe $1,000 in taxes, they may collect $1,100 from you. So they get the 10% from the government and another 10% from you. And they would take your houses or your just like the IRS does now, they take houses or possessions. That's how a publican was. Now, if you had a publican in Easley, South Carolina, who did that, would you think well of him? Of course not. That's how it was done, brethren. That's how it was done. Now, personally, I thought it was a great concept, but I can see why, because of the sinfulness of men, outsourcing of tax law ruined them. So this is the publican. He's there praying now. The Pharisee sees him. He says, I'm not like this publican. I fast twice a week. I tithe. I give to the church of all that I possess. I'm not like him. I'm not extortioner. Look at Luke 3. So it's just, you've been in Luke 18. You just turn back to Luke 3. And you read in verse 12. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? So here these tax collectors are going to find out what they have to do if they're going to be baptized. And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. So you could be a publican and exact no more than what is appointed to you, and you could be baptized. You could be a righteous person. You didn't have to extort. We probably, some of you may even know IRS agents that are upright people. Same thing with these publicani. They didn't have to be unrighteous. The parable, therefore, does not condemn the publican profession, but describes the publican as one who recognizes his state of unworthiness before God and confesses his need for reconciliation. Look at what he prays. The publican, Luke 18, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognizes his state of unworthiness before God and confessed his need for reconciliation. Let me ask you, prayer can be horizontal or vertical. Was the publican's prayer horizontal or vertical? It could be horizontal or it could be vertical. Was his prayer horizontal to men or was it vertical to God? It was vertical. The publican was praying to God. But in man's eyes, this Pharisee, who was seemed very outwardly righteous, his prayer was horizontal. Acceptable prayer, as we've learned, includes confession of sin. It's not only a pouring out of our heart to God, but it's a confession of sin. Let me ask you, did the publican pour out his heart to God? Sure he did. And he confessed his sin. Acceptable prayer is an offering of the desires of the righteous unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ by the help of his Spirit with confession of sins. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Acceptable prayer includes confession of sin. Look at Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Here's Daniel, one of the few men in Scripture that you can find no fault with him. No fault. Can't find it in the Scriptures. Look what he prays in Daniel 9, verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Notice what Daniel says in the first part of that verse. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Even Daniel knew. Daniel, in whom we see no sin, he knew he was a sinner. So coming to God in humility, this publican received mercy and reconciliation he asked for. We've looked at the Pharisee, we've looked at the context, we've looked at the Pharisee, we've looked at the publican. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is kind enough to help us see what he's trying to teach with his application, beginning in verse 14. Luke 18, verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do you see the Pharisee in that text? Look at verse 14. Do you see the Pharisee? He that exalteth himself shall be abased, is the Pharisee. Do you see the publican? He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So who went home justified? The publican. Who was the righteous one? The publican. Now, in his own eyes, the Pharisee was righteous. In his own eyes, the publican was not righteous. Let me ask you, in your own eyes, are you righteous or unrighteous in your eyes? Look at Matthew 5. Verse 48. Matthew 5. Verse 48. And I'm just going to confess again, brethren, I intentionally use a lot of verses to look up in my sermons for two reasons. Number one, I can cover myself to know I'm staying close to the scriptures with my exposition. And number two, it's easier to keep you awake. Matthew 5, verse 48. Now, what does the Word of God say we are supposed to be in Matthew 5, verse 48? What does it say we're supposed to be? Be ye therefore perfect. How perfect are we supposed to be? As perfect as our Father in heaven. Now, if you are here today, and in and of yourself, you are perfect as God in heaven, stand up. Because you have every right to do that, if you're as perfect as God in heaven. Now, nobody's standing up. Bill's standing up, he's got a bad back. He wishes he was sitting right now. We're not. But look what the text says. Look what it says. I didn't take that out of the Bible. That's in the Bible. And the text says we're supposed to be what? Perfect. Do you want to be perfect? Do you want to be perfect? Sure we do. Sure we do. But when we look at perfection and we look at ourselves, what do we think of? It's a long way, isn't it? I've told this before. My brother Larry Springer, he said, when I consider where I was before I was saved and where I am now, it's like I have come thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. But if I consider what God wants me to be, perfect, it's like I'm going from Los Angeles to New York City, I'm going to walk the whole way, and I'm just thinking about getting up off my seat. But God says, and it's not me, God is saying to us, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is an undoing statement. It's undoing. It levels us. It leveled our brother, the publican. He could not so much as lift up his head. But he said, God, be merciful to me. Brethren, look at Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, verses 22 to 25. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, that includes Pharisees and publicans, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God, verse 25, hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For the righteousness of Christ imputed to him and received by faith alone. Look at the text of Scripture. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. That means everybody in here can be made righteous before God. Everybody in here can be made perfect before God. If we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. You want to be perfect? Look to Christ. And you pray with our brother the publican, God, do not so much as lift up your head. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you pray, do not pray, God, I thank you that I'm not as bad as the guy next to me, because you are. I know it's hard to believe, Zechariah, but you are just as bad as Josiah. I know it's hard to believe, but you are. In fact, Zechariah, you're just as bad as your dad, and your dad is just as bad as you. We're all in this sinful mess together. And we all can leave here today justified for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That is what Christ is teaching. You're in Romans 3? You don't believe me? Look over at Romans 4. It's just one page over. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not. Romans 4, verse 5. You see it there? You see what the Word of God says? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Maybe a few moments ago when I was talking about being righteous, you were thinking, it can't be that simple. Certainly there's more to be said. No. It is that simple. It's right there in your Bible. Do you see it? Don't blame me. Don't say this guy is wrong. Look at the Bible. Look at the text. Put your eyes down there. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's you! He justifieth the ungodly by faith. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Believe. Believe. Do not leave this place today without believing. That is true. It's right there. It's what the Word of God. You don't believe me? Look at 2 Corinthians 5. So boy, this is serious. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Look at what it says. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's what I'm doing today. I'm pleading with you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. You group of publicani, that's all of us We're all in this sinful mess together. I plead with you, from the youngest to the oldest, from Lessie, Josiah, Zechariah, Jedediah, Tori, I'm pleading with you, don't leave here today without looking to Christ to save you. For the Word of God says in verse 21, He hath made Christ, Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, the publicans, the extortioners, the murderers, the liars, that's us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Pastor Alan Cairns used to say, he wished he could insert a phrase in that verse. He hath made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, who knew no righteousness, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You've heard the story of Martin Luther. For a long time in solitude, without prayer, without food, his servants would put the food by the door and they'd come by hours later and nothing had been had. He would just be in there in solemn meditation and solitude. And at last, Luther rose from his chair and was heard to exclaim in amazement, God, forsaken of God, who can understand it? He hath made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us. Where Christ Himself cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we, who knew no righteousness, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's why. God, forsaken of God. Who can understand it? Look at what you just sang today. Take your insert out. Look what you just sang today. Take your insert out. Look at the chorus. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. God estranged from God. I think Chris Anderson read a little Martin Luther. God forsaken of God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. All right, brethren, now we come back to Luke 18. Some final exhortations before we pray. Luke 18. We've considered the context, the Pharisee, the publican, and Christ's application. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Brethren, both the Pharisee and the publican got what they asked for. Both the Pharisee and the publican got what they asked for. Confident in his religiosity, the Pharisee asked God for nothing, and therefore received nothing. Coming to God in humility, the publican received the mercy and reconciliation he asked for. And so I would say the point of the entire parable in conclusion can be summed up in two questions. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? And who do we think God is? Do you trust in yourself and your righteousness? Do you despise others? Do you look down your snout at others? Or do you see yourselves as other men are? And when you pray, to whom do you pray? Do you pray to others so that others may hear you within yourself? Do you pray with yourself? Or do you pray to God? And when you pray, are you caught up with yourself? When you pray, are you caught up with others? When you pray, are you caught up with God? I ask you, children, listen to me. When mommy or daddy say to you, now will you pray? Are you thinking about your parents when you pray? Do you think, I want to pray so that mommy and daddy are pleased with how I pray? I could say this to the adults at prayer meeting. When you get up to pray, are you praying so that you can see how well others think of your prayers? Or children and adults, when you pray, do you pour out your heart to God with humility? This is what prayer is. It's to God. It's to God. And the scriptures say you're to pour out your heart to God. Children, listen to me. The next time mom or dad asks you to pray, don't worry about mom or dad. Don't worry. They don't want you to worry about them when you pray. They want you just to come to God and pour out your heart to God. That will please mommy and daddy. That's good for all of us, brethren. Let's pour out our hearts to God in prayer. Let's confess our sin. For brethren, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Brethren, he spake this parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. That's us. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for not giving us what we know we all deserve. We thank you that not one person in here today is in hell. That's all we've earned. That's all we deserve. We are unprofitable sinners. When it's all said and done, we've done nothing to earn your favor. But we thank you for your long suffering and your patience with us. And we thank you so much for the gospel, which says that he hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May we, dear God, be a people that know what it's like to lay hold of that righteousness. Dear God, we pray especially for those here today who are children and others who know not you, that they would lay hold of Christ today, pour out their hearts like this publican, and say, God, be merciful. Lift not so much of their head, but just say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For Jesus' sake we pray, and in his name, amen.